This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Now, it's possible that some of the ads from yesterday's Super Bowl broadcast will prove important enough to be preserved for all time by the Library of Congress, but maybe not. Here to talk about the new hyper-expensive ads rolled out yesterday is Bob Garfield, the co-host of NPR's On the Media, and the author of And Now a Few More Words from Me, Advertising's Leading Critic Lays Down the Law Once and for All. And this modest man joins us from our bureau in New York. Bob, good to have you.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to be here.
And, of course, we'd like to welcome all of you to join in, too. Did you stick with the Super Bowl just to see the ads? What were your impressions? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. And, Bob, given the way the game went, do people who rent, buy the time in the fourth quarter, get a little reach for the Maylocks when the score starts to get a little bit out of whack?
On Friday, three advertisers bought time in the fourth quarter at the last minute, and I'm sure they were high-fiving one another because they got the spots for, like, let's say, $1.8 million for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's, $18,000 per second or something like that. I haven't done the arithmetic, but it's a lot of money, and I'm sure they were very, very happy with themselves until they got to the actual fourth quarter when the score, as you know, was 235-21, and not even Brad Johnson's mother was still watching. She was watching a hip surgery on the Learning Channel when these spots came on. Were they suicidal today? Yes, they certainly were, and they had a lot of explaining to do.
Well, given that, let's put that aside anyway, how do you rate this year's ads?
Well, I actually rate them very highly, not because it was the most entertaining Super Bowl in history. It wasn't that. I think the ads, by and large, were pretty funny and pretty charming. There was some good storytelling that went on. It was not a classic entertainment bowl from the advertising perspective, but what the advertisers did this year, for the first time that I can think of, maybe ever, was sell goods and services to consumers. They actually used their advertising buys to advertise instead of just sort of gratuitously entertain the public. A few exceptions, some very funny exceptions that were great comedy, not very good advertising, but by and large, I think they did what advertisers are supposed to do, which is sell stuff.
Were you surprised by the lack of the words .com?
Well, I guess I wasn't surprised because I have an investment portfolio that proves that the .com bubble has long since burst. But we certainly have come a long way from 3 years ago when the spots, because of the .com bubble, were selling for $2.5 million for 30 seconds. And most of the advertisers you had never heard of before and, of course, have not heard from since because they are gone.
Our number again is 800-989-8255. And let's begin with Rick, who's on the line from St. Louis.
Yes, Neil. I thought as a whole the commercials were pretty disappointing. But I did like the Bud Light, I think it was with the Rasta, the dog on his head.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I thought the FedEx Castaway commercial was terrific. And maybe a distant third would have been the Clydesdales, with the instant replay, the zebra. I thought that was a distant third.
And what particularly amused you about the idea of the guy putting the dog on his head?
I just thought it was very, very clever. It was an attention getter. I thought it was clever as can be, how they resolved the problem, So I loved it.
Well,
humorous.
It was humorous. Your second choice was the FedEx ad, which was a playoff of the movie Castaway, right?
I thought that was terrific. Uh-huh. I thought it really got FedEx's point across, and with a humorous kind of outcome.
Well, we happen to have that ad right here and ready for you. It's a FedEx ad, as you mentioned. It starts off with a guy who's got long hair, a very long beard, wearing khakis and a blue button-down shirt, wandering up to a suburban home where he rings the bell.
Right.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package, and I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff.
The FedEx ad from last night's Super Bowl. And Rick, that was your favorite or second favorite? All right.
I think that was probably my favorite. It was very close between that and the Rasta commercial with the dog on his head.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bob Garfield, did you like that one?
Yeah, I thought it was a splendid ad, not only because it was a very good spoof on the Castaway film, not only because the gag was good that he actually had with him during this entire 5 years stranded on the island, all of the tools necessary to escape or at least make himself comfortable while he was there, but also because it was about FedEx's persistence in delivering packages. After all, this guy did keep that package to himself for 5 years and was now finally delivering it to this lady, which, by the way, is often how long it takes for a FedEx package to arrive, even if you're not stranded on a desert island, I'm sorry to report. But, you know, there's a backstory to that. And this secrecy, the shroud of secrecy over this commercial was of Pentagonian proportions. I mean, I could not believe the way they were treating this thing, and it was as if they had the nuclear secret or the invasion plans for Iraq or the cure for cancer or something momentous. And it was really like, oh, I'm a writer and words are my life, pulling teeth, Neil.
Boy, to, I'll have to write that one down, Bob.
And you can use it. That's courtesy of me to get this thing out of their hands. And, you know, when you get it, it was a good commercial, but for heaven's sakes, it was a commercial. it's just my repertorial frustration speaking there.
Well, you're an ad reviewer. You saw these things ahead of time, I'm sure. But you were then, what, blood sworn to secrecy?
Yeah, in some cases, the advertisers use the ads before the Super Bowl to generate pre-game publicity for their brands and for their advertising. Others just will not release it. And I eventually did get, I think, every ad but one. And but every year it's the same thing. It's as if I'm trying to wrest the children from their hands. And, you know, it's never anything that important. It winds up to be just, you know, a commercial.
Let's go now with Chris, who's in Bend, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Let's see. I guess what I wanted to say, without sounding too old-fashioned, is that there was a lot of, they used a lot of sex in a lot of the commercials. And out here on the West Coast, this is family, you know, it's family time to watch, because we view it, you know, earlier in the day than you guys do on the East Coast. But, you know, it was, some of the ads were like, oh my goodness, you know, with the kids in the room, we're like, should we change the channel during the commercials or leave it on? It was just kind of uncomfortable for a family to be sitting there watching a game and then having a lot of those ads come up during the break.
Were there any particular that you remember, Chris?
The Bud Lights were kind of rude. And then I guess they were at, this wouldn't really be an ad for a product. It was more for the ABC show Alias.
Coming on immediately afterwards, which
yeah, exactly.
Seems to be a cross-promotion between Alias and the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Exactly.
Yeah, Neil, when you say coming on afterwards, you're not kidding. It was a come-on, all right. And, you know, if you're looking for the network to be the defender between you and decorous behavior of the advertisers, well, you can just forget it, because how can a network turn down a Bud Light ad when it was running soft porn in its own promos at 6 o'clock Eastern time?
Yeah.
There is no gatekeeper anymore, and the only thing that matters is, does the check clear? And that is the world we're living in, and I'm sorry about that, but
yeah.
That's where we are in 2003.
That is unfortunate, yeah. But otherwise, you know, the Castaway and then the beef jerky, those were fun commercials. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chris. The beef jerky commercial, Bob, did you want to explain that?
Fun is not the word I would use to describe the beef jerky commercial. Repulsive is the word I would use, and completely unacceptable. But it was for Dodge Ram trucks. Do you have this tape, Neil?
And I'm afraid we don't have this particular one.
Okay. Well, let me just describe it. It's very simple. A man is eating beef jerky in the passenger seat of a Dodge Ram pickup. He starts choking on it, and I mean realistically choking to death. This is quite a performance. And his friend, who is pleading, imploring for help, the friend just accelerates in the truck and then brakes suddenly, performing a truck Heimlich maneuver, and the jerky is dislodged from the choking man's throat.
In full view of the audience.
And splat against the inside of the windshield. I mean, it is really revolting and disturbing. I mean, I just don't want to watch a real-life depiction of someone choking to death to sell a truck. How they sell any trucks doing this is a mystery in its own right, but it's just something I don't want my kids to see, I don't want my grandmother to see, and I don't want to look at it myself.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we got from Jen Johnson Wickman. In my 29, 30-year-old young married grad student professional demographic Super Bowl party, the Reebok's office linebacker, forgive me, I don't know the NFL player's name from the ad, was the best. It had us transfixed, laughing, and repeating the webpage on which we could see more footage. This one we do happen to have queued up, so let's listen to this ad that has its own NFL linebacker, who his name, by the way, is Terry Tate.
We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family.
Here's another email on that
same subject.
Hi, Jen. I taped the game last night and fast-forwarded through it to watch the commercials. I thought the best of show was the Reebok ad with the football player who helped raise productivity 46%. That from Noel Calvi. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but, you know, it's exactly the kind of Super Bowl advertising we're accustomed to seeing, and exactly the kind that has allowed advertisers to set fire to large bricks of money year after year after year for now, whatever it is, 37 years. Look, it's a hilarious commercial. There is not one single frame in the Terry Tate commercial that would suggest that you would want to buy Reebok sneakers. You don't even see a sneaker. You don't see Reebok anything. In fact, you'd be forgiven for thinking it was an ad for the fictional Felcher and Company that was the ostensible home of this, by the way, mythical character, Terry Tate. I don't think Reebok will be hiring an actual celebrity endorser for a while, as their last one was R. Kelly.
I see.
So, but in any event, it is absolutely laugh-out-loud funny, especially when he takes time away from tackling a complacent employee by saying, "Hi, Janice." I mean, it's funny, but it's certainly not advertising. At least it's advertising, I would say, for the man who plays Terry Tate, and not at all for Reebok.
Now, we did see an awful lot of Michael Jordan last night, but where was Nike? We just saw Reebok.
Well, that's why there was no Nike. When you buy, when you're a category, you generally buy category exclusivity. So you saw Anheuser-Busch, you didn't see any Bud. You saw Reebok, but you didn't see Nike.
And I see.
It was ever thus.
Okay. Let's see if we get one more call in. Hunter joins us from Seattle.
Yeah, hi. I thought that the guy in the upside-down clown costume in the bar was the funniest ad of all. It was very crass, especially if you caught the throwaway last line. But I don't have the least idea what they were advertising.
This was a beer ad, as it turns out. I think it was one of the Bud Light ads where a man in a clown suit walks. He's upside down in one of those suits that they wear sometimes in ballparks and those sorts of things like that. You know, he's pretending to be a clown, is upside down, walks into the bar, orders a beer and drinks it, and wonders why people are staring at him.
Well, not only he wonders, but he hasn't shown the drinking. He just shows the disgusted looks on people's faces while he's drinking because of the part of the anatomy where the beer is aimed at. Then it shows him putting, without ever actually showing it. Then he puts the beer down, and then his throwaway line is he asks the bartender for a hot dog, and the bartender says, "I don't think so." And it was pretty crass, very funny. I didn't know it was a beer ad even. I thought it was maybe a Coke.
It wasn't a hot dog ad, no.
I don't think so.
No. And Bob, sometimes we're going to see these, a million times in the next month?
Well, you'll certainly see that one in a lot of the Bud Light spots. Yeah, they're going to be cycled all through basketball and so forth, and probably into the baseball season. I also laughed at that. It is a little on the vulgar side. even though you don't actually see the last image with the hot dog, it's vivid in your mind's eye. It's pretty unforgettable.
Bob Garfield, you have 10 seconds to give us one big loser from last night.
Well, I would say the Quiznos pizza, which was about a man in his underpants making sub sandwiches, not a really appetizing image, and then the truck ad with the choking to death. I just thought it was a disgrace.
Bob Garfield, thanks very much for being with us. Bob Garfield,
my pleasure.
Co-host of NPR's On the Media. His new book is "And Now for a Few More Words from Me." In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.